Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. I don't know how far I'll get into this today. I feel like he kind of changed directions on me a day or two ago. And what I felt like I wanted to share, we just got done with Peter. Peter's old news, Peter's old school. Now we're into Acts chapter 2. And hey, do me a favor, give knuckles to somebody around you. Say, I am so glad you came. Acts chapter 2. The Lord's at work, y'all. He's doing some really cool stuff, and I just want to pray into this right now before we get into the Word. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. We honor you. We begin our week with worship. We begin our week blessing you, magnifying you, honoring you, God. We magnify the Lord. We lift up your holy name, God. We say that you reign in our lives. You reign in our city. You reign, God. We thank you, God, that you give us eyes to see what you're doing in spite of what the enemy's doing. Help us to be focused on what you're doing and not be distracted and not be discouraged, because you're at work. You're at work and you're moving and you're leading and you're growing us, God. And we just say yes and amen to all your promises. And we thank you, Lord, that by you and by your promises and by Christ in us, God, you cause us to be victorious. You cause us to triumph, God. You deliver us of all of our trials. You are our deliverer. You are the champion of Israel, and we thank you for it, God. You give wisdom, God. You give strength, God. So we open our heart wide to you this morning. We open our hearts and our minds before you, God, ready to receive your word, ready to hear from you, ready to grow in you, ready to be reminded, ready to be confirmed. I feel like the Spirit of God is going to confirm, like just as you read the word here, that he's going to confirm some things he's been speaking to you privately. So Lord, we have ears to hear. We have eyes to see. We have hearts to understand who you are and your word. So we just speak your peace and your blessing over your house today and over your people today. And let the strength of the word and the Spirit of God empower us to walk in righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's start in Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching this amazing sermon through Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell and gave, they were filled with the Spirit. The power of God came upon the church and upon the leaders of the church. And then God started moving, cool things were happening. And then Peter comes out to this crowd of people and starts preaching a sermon. I want to pick up, I know this is a very familiar section of scripture, but I feel like we're supposed to just take some time here. So at the end of this sermon, look down in verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. This is the end of that sermon that Peter just brought the word and spoke truth. And there's a whole bunch of people there. Thousands and thousands of people were there when Peter was speaking. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, I'm not going to read a big section of text. I just feel like taking it just one verse at a time and just kind of going through. So if that frustrates you and stuff, you'd rather me just read the whole thing, I apologize, but we're just going to break this down one by one. So when they heard the word, and Peter was preaching the word of God by the Spirit of God, and they heard the word of God, the Bible says that, number one, they heard it, which means they had to be paying attention. So if you feel like God's not speaking to you, If you feel like God's not speaking to you, I would advise you to start paying more attention. Go ahead and elbow somebody next to you and say, I think he's talking to you. Pay more attention. I've had people that's been going to this church for a while that have come to me, Pastor, your sermons have been really good lately. Let me tell you how I translate that. They started paying attention. I've Pastor, something's changed. And here's my answer. Yeah, in you. And so if that's you, you think, man, he's talking about me. Go back and watch some of the old sermons. There'll be a whole new life for you in that. Whole new life for you in that. And so they heard because they paid attention. You gotta be willing to hear. You gotta be committed to hear, to hearing the word, not just on Sunday, but every day. And hearing the word. And then that word, with attention, they heard that word cut to the heart. See, the word of God should be upon your heart. It's not just a theory in your head. It's not just a mental amen that we can acknowledge and say, oh, I believe that, or I've heard that, or I've heard that before. Sometimes that thing of, oh, I heard that before. Some of you, when I said Acts chapter 2 or started reading, you might, oh, I've heard this before, and you kind of block out something new that God might be sharing with you because you think, I already know that. See, what you think you know can keep you from what you need to know. And so we need to come with a heart that's open to God, that says, God, I want to hear because you speak new things, you know, and I just want to be open and hear what you're saying. And so these guys, they were cut to the heart. And I love how it uses the word cut to the heart. It's not a nice, pretty, poetic thing of, oh, the word just went gently and softly into their heart. The word cut. So I want to ask you something. I want some answers. I want some answers. Raise your hand to give answers to this. So instead of the word gently just going down and like a little butterfly, just resting upon your heart, what does it speak to you when it says the word, like the word of the Lord, it cut to their heart? What does that speak to you? I don't want to assume. Yes, sir. Surgery. Good stuff. Somebody else. Okay? Penetrating, surgery, penetrating. I want to hear another one. Okay? Pierced. So the piercing. Convicted. Okay? Implanted. Raise your hand. I would not have done that if it wasn't anybody but you. Okay, go ahead. Filleted, like the fish you always fillet. Yes, sir. I didn't hear it. Direct? Yeah, direct, to the point, direct. See, all of these things. Yes, sir. I couldn't hear it. A battle. So, you know, there's seasons in your life where God is speaking. I'll say it this way. There's seasons in my life where God has been speaking, but I've not been able to hear because I wasn't paying attention, number one. And because when I felt the first little poke, the first little poke, it's like, oh, okay, we're done. Like, God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Listen to me. If the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God is piercing something in you, doing surgery or being direct, all these things, trying to implant something in you, trying to fillet you. If he's doing all these things, you know, penetrating you, then you need to trust he's doing it for the right purpose. He's doing it for the right reason. He's doing it for something good. He's not poking around for something bad. He's not poking around to punish you. See, pruning is never punishment. It's preparation for more fruit. And so here's what happened. They were open to the word of God, and the word cut them. The word cut through. I don't know what the word of God is needing to cut through in your life in this season, but he'll cut through your pride. He'll cut through your arrogance. He'll cut through your depression. He'll cut through your false belief. He'll cut through it all because the word of God is living and active like a sharp, two-edged sword, penetrating. That's what we need to be open with. Because when we have that kind of sword, listen to me, when we have that kind of sword penetrating us, then it's that kind of sword God speaks through us to help penetrate others. If you have a dull sword coming in, you got a dull sword going out. You can't say, I want God to do some work in me, but do a bunch of work through me. Doesn't happen that way. The word works in you and then works through you. Make sense? So the word cut to the heart and look at the response. Look at their response. You know the word of God worked because of their response. This is a healthy response to the word of God piercing your heart. This is a healthy response. Underline it, look at it, take a picture of it. And it's all, there's different phrases throughout the Bible or different stories where people say this same phrase in a moment when God's word is cutting their heart. Here's the thing. What shall we do? Now, you may think, why did it say, what shall we believe? Well, that is implied here because the action is always supported by a belief. The behavior is always supported by a belief. So it's not what shall we do in the sense of I'm trusting my performance and trusting, you know, I've got to do something to earn something from God, but it's a heartbeat of obedience. When the word of God pierces your heart, you're touched by him and touched by his word, that the natural response to a heart that is being touched by the king and by the creator and by his word is obedience. What shall I do? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? And we live in a nation and in a culture where we, and in a church sometimes, the church at large, where we actually think we're right because of our intention, we're right because of our idea, we're right because of our theology, but our daily life experience doesn't match with what we say we believe. Yeah. And so we don't change our doing. We just need to change our mental, intellectual agreement. Like, okay, I concede. I agree that, you know, but what a transformed life is not transformed just in the mind. Your mind is transformed. You renew your mind to think differently, but a transformed life is transformed in what you do. How do you know you really got something when you do something with it? I'm not talking about performing and you trying to go prove something by doing something in order to earn something. I'm talking about a faith that works. And here, before we read any of the other stuff that really is going to line into some really cool things, it doesn't happen except in a group of people. The word doesn't work unless you have attention to the word and unless you let it pierce your heart and the word cuts you deep and it cuts through. I don't know what it has to cut through, but you let it cut through that, pierce through that, pierce through the unbelief, pierce through the fear, pierce through the lies, pierce through your flesh and touch your heart. And then that word, that seed of God's word gets in good ground. And the next response is, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? How do we walk this out? See, the question, what do we do, implies surrender and submission. Imagine your children. We'll just bring this to where it'll make sense to you. Imagine you come home or whatever, and it's chores need to be done, or maybe it's a Saturday morning. I don't know, however it is in your house. And imagine your child coming in, and you're there, and you say, okay, guys, you know, it's chore time or it's whatever, and you say we got to do some stuff, and you're speaking, and your word so penetrates the heart. Your kids are so attentive. They're so attentive, like they're watching the words come out of your mouth. And they're so attentive. They're not doing anything else. They're so attentive. Like as soon as you start speaking, they stop what they're doing and they look at you. Happens all the time, right? And then as they're giving you their full attention, you say what needs to happen. You say, okay, mom, dad, what shall I do? You would be like, Jesus is coming. You know, that's what obedience looks like. That's what it looks like. And so this whole rest of the stuff we're going to talk about only works in a heart that allows the word to pierce it. And guys, it can be painful. It can be tough when God starts like pushing, poking, and his word comes and he's going to pierce through. Because you know what he's piercing through? He's piercing through sin. He's piercing through your defenses. He's piercing through the walls that you've built so you can be more comfortable. When truly the safest place is with being naked with him, being open with him. So I want to challenge us. I want to challenge me to have a heartbeat and have a lifestyle that gives attention to God's word. Lots of scriptures I could quote that talk about give attention to God's word, give attention to the word of God. I'm not beating anybody up. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not beating anybody up. But how much quality time have you spent with God in his word this week? Not intellectually trying to win an argument, but you just breaking bread in a sense with God and just being like, man, Lord, I love you and I love your word. I love you and I love your word. Just like I talked a few weeks ago about text messaging. I could look through your phone and see who you love the most almost. To see who you text the most. To see who you contact the most. And that speaks something of your value of that relationship, because you value the relationship, you value the words, you value the text. And so we need to value the text. And we need to start coming to the word. And those who are in here says, I just don't feel close to God. I just don't feel God. I just feel like God's not talking to me. Well, then what you need to do is you need to start seeking him and pursuing him by coming away from your distractions and coming to the word of God and saying, God, I am seeking you. God, I choose to seek you. I believe you love me. I know you have a plan, you know, for my life. And Lord, I want to surrender myself to you. God, help me. You go to the word with an open heart and an honest heart, and you ask for help, and you stay in the word. You stay in the word. Some of you in this room, you struggle with certain addictions. Let me tell you how you got there, because you stayed in the thing. You kept showing up. You could have stopped a number of times. You could have only went to a certain level and stopped. Everybody else stopped. You kept going. You kept going to that same person, place, or thing. You kept going. You kept showing up. You kept giving your attention. You say, I don't have a choice. No, you made a choice. And you keep making the choice to keep going to that person, place, or thing. And all you have to do is say no to this and say yes to the Lord and come to the Lord. It may be hard at first, but it was hard at first when you first went to that club or bar or whatever it was. It was painful. It was tough. You had battles with it, but you kept choosing in spite of the pain. You kept overcoming that because something in you, even though it was unhealthy, something in you was like saying, I want more. So something has to rise up in you to say, I don't want what this world has. I don't want the fleeting pleasures of this world. They don't fulfill me. They don't satisfy me. I want what the Lord has, and I want to press in to see, and I'm going to stop using excuses, and I'm going to start taking action to say, God, I want your word to penetrate my heart. Because when you use your word to penetrate me and penetrate my heart, then my life can become like a sword to penetrate others, not to crucify them in a sense of punishment, but to crucify them to set them free. And so the freedom he works in me, now I'm an agent of freedom working that in other people. And so that's what I want to see. You know, looking back to the early church and what they did is so important to us to have a plumb line of truth. But we just got to understand that the whole concept of the word cutting their heart and them saying, what shall we do? Them saying, I'm willing to do whatever. I talk to so many people that come to me, oh, Pastor John, my life is horrible. My life is this, my life is that. And I'm like, okay, what are you willing to do? Like, here's what I tell people sometimes. And many of you have heard this. And if you are planning on coming to talk to me, this is probably what you're going to hear. Do you think there's anything you could do to make your life worse? And usually it's, yeah. I'm like, okay, do you think there's anything you could do to make your life better? And that's where they hesitate. And then they say, well, I guess. I'm like, do you believe the choice is yours? And then it's like, I guess. Instead of like, yeah, I can do stuff and make my life worse. And you know what? Yeah, I can do stuff to make my life better. And guess what? The choice is mine. I'm not a victim. Oh my goodness. That kind of heart sets you up for God to empower you to empower others. And that's what's happening here. Men and brethren, what shall we do? We are ready. We are willing. And let's do this thing. So let's look at the next scripture, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. Everybody loves that word, right? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they say, what shall we do? And here's Peter and the other apostles saying really simply, repent. Repent and be baptized. They're speaking to repent from sin to Jesus, to turn your way of thinking from trusting in yourself, trusting in some religious system, trusting in your ability. It's repent, change the way you think. It's literally a turn. It's turn from this to this. So when you repent to Jesus Christ, you're turning. You're like, I'm not looking at this anymore. I'm not going this direction anymore. Some of you in this room right now, and some of you watching at home right now, you are one repenting away from a life transformation. You are so victimized by this thing that has held you or gripped you, and you think, I can't get away. And you're like, God, help me, help me. And but all that has to happen is you to stand up and turn. And now when your attention is given to him and your attention is not given to that person, place, or thing, or that sin of your past, when your attention is turned to him, that's what repentance is. You have my attention. You have my attention. Here's what most people do. Here's what most people are struggling. Oh, this is so bad. I'm so terrible. This person, all these things happen to me. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, no, I got caught. I have a court date. And during the court date, I turn. Problem is, I'm a revolving door because a court date got over, and now guess what? And I live a life cycle of court date. My spouse is leaving me. I got arrested again. I mean, what needs to happen is this. I'm done with this and I want to follow Jesus. And then you just walk with him. Glory to glory to glory to glory. And then one day you'll be looking back at that and that life like, I can't even believe I used to do that and live there. Look at what God has done. Because you gave him your attention and you repented, and repenting all the way to the point, repenting, which means salvation, is you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. He's not just your helper. Listen, y'all heard me say it a bunch of times. He's not your pharmacist. He's not your street pharmacist. He doesn't come here to numb you. He comes here to heal you. He's the one that he's not just your counselor in a sense to just, you know, help you from time to time. He is Lord, and he gives counsel, but he does it as Lord. And so this repenting to him is, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrendered to you. And I don't know if you can remember the day that you repented from sin to the Lord and said, you are Lord of my life. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. And now I surrender my life to you. Come live your life through me. However you prayed it, however you said it, I hope you can remember when you did that. And then you remind yourself of that as you keep walking with him every single day. You keep walking with the Lord every single day. So the repentance should lead to water baptism. Water baptism is a public demonstration of what happened with you privately. Water baptism is a tomb. It's a funeral service. It's like the Red Sea to the Israelites who are coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land. They had a one-way door. Water baptism is a one-way road. God split the waters this way for them to walk through. He didn't split them for them to go back. So So water baptism is a one-way thing. Water baptism is a physical, tangible, yet spiritual act. It's a spiritual, supernatural act made tangible by your faith as you realize that I am burying the old life and I'm crossing this border. It's not just, oh, I got saved, I got to get baptized. Oh, this is cute. The little butterfly landed on my heart. I got the word and now I'm going to get saved and it's going to be beautiful and everything's going to be wonderful. It's going to be rainbows and Skittles and unicorns in my life. And then I'm going to go through the little waters of baptism and, oh, everyone's going to love me and it's going to be good. That's not what it's about. What it's about is this is my Red Sea. And I'm going into the wilderness, and I don't know what's next. I don't know what's in the wilderness. I don't know what God has for me. I don't know it in detail. I don't have a map, and I don't have a plan. All I know is I'm going to be with him. And if I'm with him, he'll work it out. He'll bring water from a rock. He'll bring manna from the sky. He'll bring substance and deliverance to me. He'll help me, and he'll bring me into the promised life he has for me. I'm not negotiating with him, well, I will go if you. It's God, I'm going to follow you. I'm leaving this behind, and you're my only hope. My shepherd is my source. And I go through the waters of baptism. If your salvation, if your repentance will not bring you into the waters of baptism, I question if it brings you into heaven. I'm not trying to start a fight. I just had a little coffee this morning. It's repentance and then faith towards God in being baptized. Because baptism is the burial of the old you that was crucified with Christ. And you bury that old life. So on the other side of that watery grave, you have a boundary line. You have a fence, you have a wall, you have a territory boundary line to where you're saying, I will never go back there again. That's who I was, this is who I am. Because the word cut to my heart, what shall I do? Repent, be baptized, and now we're walking a new life. I'm not a revolving door. I'm not a revolving door anymore. I'm not repenting. Jesus, I love you. Ooh, I love you too. Jesus, I got a court day. Oh, I'm not a revolving door. I'm getting dizzy just up here spinning around talking about it. You ever met people in their life that is just dizzy? You just get dizzy watching them? Repent and be baptized. Because the resurrection of the baptism, you rising out of the waters of baptism, is the shutting of the door, the closing of the sea that says, I'm done with the revolving door. Look what happened next. And you shall, for the remission of sins, the removal of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not talking about the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and I could take longer to explain that. This is talking because you wouldn't be baptized if the Holy Spirit wasn't already living inside of you. When you repent and you put your faith in the Lord, you receive the Holy Spirit at that moment. In John chapter 20, the first day of the resurrection, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that's salvation. That's when the Holy Spirit is in you. And then you go into the waters of baptism. And then what he's saying is, now you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, not the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit lives in you the moment you're saved. He makes you righteous. He fills you with his person. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. And so this is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life. He's going to empower you. This is where it's like the power of God and the gifting of the Spirit of God comes upon you. So the first three things that we see in somebody who, what shall we do? What shall we do in response to the word of God? Number one, we should have this heart that gets us to the question. We should have a heart of attention and focus that gets us to the question of, here's the word of God. What shall I do in response? Not what shall they do? Not what shall you do? What shall I do? Stop worrying about everybody else. Stop trying to fix the world as your life is falling apart. Stop thinking that if you could give somebody else advice and fix somebody else's life, you think you've done something for you. Have the question in your heart before the Lord, what shall I do? Because that's all I'm responsible for. Or that's my first responsibility. Me. And then in doing that, I repent. And I get baptized. And then after the waters of baptism, there's another baptism. It's being baptized with the Holy Spirit, his power coming upon my life. He says in Joel, I was reading this the other day, in Joel that was quoted in Acts chapter 2. He says, I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. They shall prophesy. And he just starts speaking this promise of the outpouring of God's spirit upon your life. And I think we got to be careful, because if we're not careful as a church, trying to fight certain battles and do certain things, we forget what kind of spirit we're of. And we're like John and them, who is like, Lord, see them people over there? But this is not an accurate quote. It's in a little bit of a playful interpretation. See those people? You want us to call fire down from heaven and get them? And Jesus was like, you don't know what kind of spirit you are. You're taking the power and authority of God. Because I love how he said, I love Jesus didn't say like, guys, you don't have the power to do that. You can't do that. He didn't say you can't do that. What he said is, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. And that's where the church uses power, or the moving of God and the power of God, for purposes that are not God's purpose. And so I love this. And then the promise is for you and for your children and to those who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And I just want to read this, and we'll get maybe into this next week. And when with many other words, sounds like one of my sermons, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Listen to me. Every generation is perverse. Every generation is wicked. Every generation is crooked. Every generation believes the lie that they're the generation that's better than the other generations. That's the danger with progressive movement. There's some good things in a progressive movement. There's things that need to change. The danger in it is when you begin to think you're the ones. Almost like we're so good, like we're going to implement these things and do this stuff. It's going to be different this time because it's us. We know better. Guys, we've lived through that. I've lived through that a bunch of times. I'm telling you, my dad sat me down before I went into the military. Y'all probably heard this story, but I just like telling it in case my mom's watching, just to say you was right. My dad sat me down with a spreadsheet about finances to teach me about money when I was about to go into the military, and told me about savings and retirement, the rule of 72 and all this kind of stuff, about how to save money and prepare for the future. And he had a spreadsheet. If you would save this much money, then by the time you get out of the military, you'll have this much money. And done it. By the time you get 65, you'll have this much money. And my response, in Jesus' name, my response was, Dad, you know, who cares about the sheet? Don't worry about it. Dad, listen, I'm going to be in the NBA. You know, you don't got to worry about that. I got my money plan figured out. It's NBA, and if that doesn't work, lotto. And my dad was just like, who, you know. And so the reality is, when God is trying to give us wisdom from his word, sometimes we don't receive it. We don't receive it. And then we definitely don't, not only do we not receive it, it's one thing to receive it and to repent and be baptized. It's another thing to walk in it. And so a perverse generation is a crooked generation. And a number of years ago, as I was reading this, I felt like God gave me this phrase. That you need to be saved from a generation in order to be saved for a generation. And I'm praying over every generation that God raises up Paul's and Peter's and Daniel's and Joseph's and David's, that he delivers you from a generation. Because if you're trusting in your generation and you're trusting in the ideas of your generation, you're already on slippery ground. And the answer of looking at another generation who's walking in crooked and perverse is for you not to trust in, you know, you don't need to trust in, because then both you're all crooked looking at crooked. The answer is, Lord, we put our eyes upon you. Your will, your word at work in our life. Be saved from the perverse generation. Next week, we'll pick up on the other stuff. I want the worship team to come on up because I don't want to rush through this. And here's one of the things I want to just press into this morning. Here's one of the things I want you to press in as we go into a time of worship. And for those who've never been here, we teach the word first. And then in response to the word, we go into worship. And worship can look a couple different ways. We're going to have a team of a prayer team of people who will come up here and they're ready to pray for you. So even if it's your first time here, what I want you to hear is this. We want to pray for you. And maybe you're a person that you're sitting here and you're like, man, God's been talking to me all week long or all month long. God's been talking to me. God's been getting my attention. And today is the day that I want to yield. Today is the day that I want to say, yes, Lord, you have my attention. And here's the thing. You're having the heartbeat of, Lord, let your word pierce my heart, penetrate my heart. God, do surgery on my soul by your living word and have the heartbeat. Maybe you're here and you have the heartbeat of, Lord, what shall I do? And you need to, like, stop trying to do all these things in your strength. Stop running from the Lord. Run to the Lord. Surrender your life to him as Lord by repenting. Repenting from your failures. Repenting from your successes. Your successes lie to you just as much as your failures do. You repent from that and to him and say, and if you've never done that, then you walk all the way to the waters of baptism and we'll help you with that. To where you draw a line in the sand, so to speak, and you bury that old life in the past. And next week we'll talk about what do you do next? What do you do next? What's this thing look like? What do I do next? And maybe some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time. You've been saved. You've given your life to the Lord. You've been baptized. Now your revolving door is no longer here at the Red Sea. Now your revolving door is in the wilderness. Now you're just revolving around here, just like, I don't really know what to do. You're just revolving around here, and you know there's more that God has for you. Maybe you need a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you need power coming upon your life. Maybe you need to present yourself before God with a heartbeat that says, God, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and cry out to the Lord. You say, well, I did that 20 years ago. Well, you might need a fresh fill-up. Maybe you leaked a little. To come with a heart. This heart says, what shall I do? This heart says, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let me be on fire for you. Let me be overflowing for you. And then it's like getting in his word and being passionate about his word. And following him. So I don't know where you're at, but I'm telling you, I believe God is at work. And I think it's very important for us as a church family in this time and in this city to position ourselves right with him. If there's sin you need to confess that's making you revolve around stuff or you can't get past certain things, you come to the altar, you lay it down. If there's family members you need to pray for, you come to the altar, you lay it down. You come receive prayer for anything. And you come before the Lord and you present yourself, because I believe what's going to happen is he's going to show up in your life. He'll meet you at the level of your faith. And I just think some of us need to get hungry again. I just think some of us need to get passionate again. As we're worshiping, if you feel like you have a prayer or somebody else has highlighted to you that you feel like you have something from God for them, not a phone number, this ain't eHarmony, but you go and you say, God has spoken this. I feel like God wants me to say this to you. And you pray it to him. I've seen it happen numerous times. I love when the body ministers to the body. And prayer team, go ahead and come on up. Anybody serving on the prayer team, go ahead and come on up, and I want you up here during this song. Guys, if you need prayer for anything, you come and you receive prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we honor you, we bless you, we magnify you, and we ask you to minister to your people, bring healing, bring hope, and bring deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.